Okay, yeah, I think we're recording now. Okay, I'm going to get started because it's just 12 o'clock Monday. So this is the Q&A support call for week one classes. So I have a few questions that have been emailed to me. I just want to see for the people on live if there's any questions or just a check-in. Do you have anything there?
Not at the moment.
Okay, great. So I'll just start with the questions that was sent to me. And if you something comes up, you think of something, you can just type it in the chat box there, and I'll get to it before the end of the call. So,
okay.
So I got a question about eggs, if eggs are supposed to be eliminated. And I just want to say, not yet in this plan, but if you, for some reason, are not eating eggs at, right now because you either have an allergy or sensitivity, don't start eating eggs. And it's always a little tricky to do these programs. You have to figure, I'm trying to avoid, I may not be successful to teach with a fire hose because then you would just get too much information and too much change, so it's almost impossible to implement, so not much gets done. So that's why I'm having this week by week approach where we are doing, basically eliminating some biggies the first few weeks. And eggs is, it's not a bad food. And most foods are not good or bad. But eggs, especially the egg white, the protein in egg whites are proteins that a lot of people react to. I'm one of them. So I have to be very careful with eggs. And so the protein in the egg yolk and the egg white are different. It's almost like two foods in one. And so, like I said, you can keep eating eggs, but make sure they are sourced well. Because I don't know if you remember seeing on the yes and no food list for the to remove the anti-inflammatory foods. Eggs, I think, are on both. And so if you don't have a sensitivity or an allergy to eggs, and if the eggs are well sourced, that means that the chickens, we just go back one layer to look at where the food came from. Because the chickens haven't been stressed. They've had enough room to walk around. So they don't also say they don't need antibiotics because they're so crowded and the environment becomes so unsanitary that they actually have to give the birds antibiotics. They don't get sick. And that their feed has been organic. And that means you don't want any genetic modified foods in there because sometimes they may feed them basically all corn and soy is GMO these days. So that's why. So if you choose eggs that are organic, and if you don't have an allergy or sensitivity, that should be fine at this stage of the program. And the next question is mayonnaise okay? So just to go back to the eggs, because it's a major ingredient there. So if you're able to eat eggs, then I'd say you can have mayo, but just be careful with the fat source of the mayo. Because often mayo is made with vegetable oils, and as we'll see when we, in a future class, when we cover fats, that those vegetable oils are very inflammatory. But now we're able to, there's two ways you can eat mayo. First, you get eggs that are well sourced and make sure they're clean and everything. And if you're going to make it yourself, you wash the eggs and, you know, there's always the risk with raw eggs of some contaminants. So if you're worried about that, use store-bought mayo. And the brand that I recommend that's made with avocado oil is from Chosen Foods. And if you have an account at Costco, they just introduced Chosen Foods mayo that basically has the ingredients that I would make myself. And they come in large jars, and when I was there recently, they were on promotion too because I think it was a new product. So you can look for that because it's organic eggs, it's avocado oil, which is not an inflammatory oil, and there's no crazy additives and things. So that's one way to get mayo in your diet without increasing inflammation. And the next question is raisins, So raisins, it's a no, and I'm going to explain why. So we're talking about limiting fruits and mainly eat fruits, a small quantity of fruits that can grow in our region. And so that would include apples, pears, blueberries, raspberries, maybe peaches when they're in season, if they are ideally if they're not sprayed and not too much. So raisins, there are some grapes grown in this region, but it's a very sweet fruit. And when it becomes raisins, it's been dried, and the drying process removes water, which means that the sugar concentration goes up. So raisins become too sweet, because what we're doing at this stage is that we are resetting or desensitizing neurotransmitter receptors for pleasure and for also sensitivity of flavor for our taste buds and all that. So we don't want to have any of that sweet. And the body doesn't really distinguish much where the sweet comes from. Like a sweet is a sweet is a sweet, because it's all about how refined it is and how fast it goes to the blood sugar, like we talked about in class one. So the raisin is a no. And then here, I'm just going to read this question here. So I've chosen to eliminate dairy, gluten, and sugar right away and doing okay. I've had a coffee every day, but that's way better than how many I used to drink in a day. I normally stick to decaf and hope to have it down 2-3 per week soon. So I don't know. I hope you've been able to log into the resource page that I sent you login details to a few days ago. I know some people had problems. So if you had a problem, you can let me know after, because I don't know what's going on, because I'm able to log in from several different browsers. So for coffee, we didn't talk too much about this in class one, but there is a handout that's called Wean Off Coffee in 10 Days. And I just want to go over it a little bit, because this also includes caffeinated drinks like Red Bull, because they are all very stimulating. And we went through the problems with caffeine during class one, and you should be able to go over those again in the slide handouts that you got in on your resource page. So because coffee is a stimulant, and it causes withdrawal if you just stop cold turkey, you can get headaches and other problems. It's recommended that you taper coffee, so then your body has a chance to adjust to less and less of the stimulant. So on this sheet that I have here, so day one is basically drink your coffee as usual and go and buy organic decaffeinated coffee. So it's really important, because coffee is also one of these crops that's heavily sprayed. So aside from the harm that the stimulating effects have on your body, you can also get a good dose of pesticides that we were trying to avoid. So day 2 to 5, you want to blend your coffee 2/3 regular coffee, and then 1/3 decaf. And then day 6 to 7, you go half and half, half regular coffee and half decaf. And then day 8 to 9, 1/4 regular coffee and 3/4 decaf. And then day 10, you can start drinking pure decaf. That's the way to gradually getting off the coffee addiction. And then some other bonus tips to have on this handout is that you should always eat breakfast before drinking your coffee, since coffee removes appetite for food and it removes your hunger. So if you're a coffee drinker, you may be aware of that. If you start your day with coffee, you don't really want much else. And also to keep in mind that if you drink coffee, that the half-life of coffee for most people is 5 to 6 hours. So you want to avoid disturbance of your sleep by not having any coffee after 12 noon. So, and this all this information is on the resource page. And then remember to type in your questions there. So I have some questions about protein powders. I was sent two ingredient lists with protein powders. So I named them 1 and 2. And the first, I'm just going to sip on water here, protein powder has a blend of whey protein isolate, and whey comes from milk or dairy. Then it also has pea protein, flaxseed, chia, quinoa, and it's a long list of other things that are more herbs and things like pomegranate juice. But for the protein, so we haven't gotten to dairy yet. That's class 3. We're going to talk about dairy. So from that point of view, since we haven't officially removed dairy yet, but if you have removed dairy, this is a protein powder you don't want to use. But then under other ingredients, it also lists organic cane sugar. So it's a no, mainly for that reason, because we have removed those sugar. And if you keep drinking this, you're not giving yourself that opportunity to reset those dopamine receptors and your taste buds to really start appreciating a much more subtle flavors in your diet. So I'd say no to that one. And then look at the second one here. So this is a vegan protein blend. It has pea, oat, rice, chia, kiwa, flax, sasha, and then it goes into flavorings like cacao powder, rose hips, and things. So it doesn't say anything on this protein powder or the other one, how these things are sourced, if it's organic or if it's conventional. And if it's conventional, there may be pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, and it could be GMO. We don't know. And they also have oat protein in this one. And like I said before, we haven't removed gluten yet, but oat is often processed in the same facilities as wheat. So there's often cross-contamination between wheat and oat. So if you want to be gluten-free, you may be getting some gluten via the oat. Even the oat in itself is gluten-free. And this also has organic cane sugar. So then again, that really puts in a no. And I know it can be tricky, especially if you're used to having a protein shake or getting protein, but it's a lot of things when they're, you can't see what's in something when it's powdered. You know, they have those kinds of foods, they have they fill a purpose, of course, and they're especially for convenience. But I think the number one rule, especially when you're in a place where you want to heal and eat clean, it's good if you can see what you're eating. And it's also often a tendency to get a lot of calories very quickly when we are able to drink our calories like that. And just by doing that, we can actually spike our blood sugar as well. And so one little saying that I often share with my clients is that you should drink your solids and eat your liquids. And what I'm meaning with that is just that you chew your solid food so well that it becomes liquid, and you eat your liquids is that you want to slow down. Remember last time we talked about slowing food down, so it also slows down how fast it gets out in the bloodstream to avoid spikes in the blood sugar. So you want to maybe eat a protein shake or something like with a spoon, so it's not like gulped down in 2 minutes, because that may spike your blood sugar no matter how good the ingredients are. And the end of this question, it was also wondering if you would advise to switch to the Vega protein powder that has less than 1 gram of sugar. So I went to the Vega website, and they have several products, and I don't know which one you had in mind. So if you can let me know which one it is and send me the ingredient list, I'll have a look. But at the same time, because I want you guys to be able to read labels and understand this for yourselves, so start looking at like the quality of the ingredients, aside from just the top layer. Let's go one layer deeper. You know, are they organic, and is there any potential for cross contamination and all of that? And also added ingredients. Are they adding just plain sugar, like in the other two examples? And also a good rule, especially at this stage, and that's been very helpful for me and a lot of my clients, is to just eat real food. Number one, like eat food on a plate and take time to eat that food. So we don't feel like we don't have time to eat breakfast because we have to be out the door. Because self-care really starts when we have to feed ourselves properly. And breakfast, I don't know when this protein was had, but if it's a breakfast, it's really important to make time for that food. And so number one is the real food. And because cooking an elaborate meal for breakfast is usually not doable for most people. So I often say dinner for breakfast, which means dinner leftover for breakfast. So make enough so you can quickly heat up things in the toaster oven, put some, you know, fermented vegetables or avocado or something on the side, and maybe some blueberries, then you have a quick meal. So we'll talk more about this later. I want to also talk about some recipes. And then number two, use those convenience foods. And I would, in some way put protein powder in that category. And also, if you're what you're after is protein, try to, if you're using it as a snack on the road, just try to maybe bring some single foods, you know, a few single foods, so you can actually see what they are and it's easy to control. So let's say hemp seeds, nut seeds, as long as you're tolerating all these things, they're really good and they have good fats as well. You store a lot of those things in the fridge, especially like hemp seeds, put a little bit in a small mason jar, take them with. And also cold chicken, smoked salmon. These are all good protein sources and they can be combined with, you know, some cut up vegetables or apples. And if you want something more, if you feel that it's not like you don't get full enough, you can add some coconut butter like we talked about last time, also called coconut manna. So I hope that that helps. So any more questions or just to check in how things are going? Any sugar cravings or anything? I think you can speak. Can you hear me, Shannon?
Yeah.
Oh, good. So how are things going? I just want to, since you're here live, I have to get hear something.
Okay. I haven't completely eliminated sugars this week. I had my nephew over, who's 3, so we pretty much just ate what he would eat.
Okay. So that's interesting. If you don't mind looking, are you okay with getting some coaching on that? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. So I'm just going to, you know, play the devil's advocate here and challenge you a little bit, if that's okay. So you said your nephew was over. And what was the reason that you had to eat what he was eating?
Because I didn't have time to go to the grocery store.
Okay, so it was a timing thing. You didn't have time to plan and get other things.
Yeah.
And
he's also a picky eater, but mostly because I didn't have time to plan.
Yeah. So that's one thing. Remember we talked about the saboteurs, like, yeah. So what are you doing different this week? So you have time to plan. So you won't be in the same situation next week.
Well, I'll be going to the grocery store to get food.
Yeah. And were you able to log into the resource page? Because I know some people have problems.
Yes, I logged in today.
Okay, good. And no problem with the password or anything. So yeah, so there's a lot of resources there for recipes and things, but I think a lot of it is keep it simple. Mm-hmm. And first it's really about finding the, because we're doing sugar at this stage, finding the foods in your house that has sugar in it, start reading labels and maybe getting rid of stuff that's, because if you have the temptation there, it's easy to eat it, right? So,
yeah.
So you want to look at your pantry and move things. And I, depending on, if other family members want to do the same thing or not, if they are not on the same page yet, that's where, because I've lived this myself, I know it's very important that you set up your boundaries and then, you know, this is my shelf in the pantry or something along those lines. So that's where you go when you want something and they can have a different area. So you have like a safe place because it's hard. You have to set yourself up for success. And if you have tempting foods around or in your drawers, it may be more harder to remove them. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, and I think they've done some studies showing, I think it was in an office, like the further away the snack food was, the least likely people were getting it. If they had it in their drawer, they were like almost 100% certain that they would eat it. But if they had to get up and go somewhere and get in a vending machine, it was less likely. But if they actually had to leave the building and walk to the store, they probably wouldn't do it, right? So you have to make it inconvenient.
Yeah.
And then have the healthy alternatives at hand. So this week, it'd be great if you can create and pre-package or just get ready for those times. First, also isolate times a day and then have little solutions ready. Keep your purse full with things that are going to keep you full when you normally would reach for something, so you have an alternative, whether it's nuts or seeds or green apple or some, you know, you can also make these like little power bars with like an almond butter, and you can put some coconut butter in there or something, roll them up and put them in coconut flakes, unsweetened. It's just like quick little, you know, power bars to keep energy high. And then also making space in your calendar for these changes. Because anytime you start something new, it's going to take more effort, whatever you've done in the past, right? When you learn a new skill, you have to kind of set aside some time and really focus and getting those skills under your belt. And once they become habit, you do it without thinking. So sometimes we think because we're used to eating, we don't have to put a lot of effort in, but it's like you have to almost put it in your calendar and say, okay, I'm going to do this. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
How's your schedule? Are you able to kind of put some meal planning time and shopping and exploring new recipes into your calendar? Is that a challenge? Or?
It's a little bit of a challenge, but I will try to work out my schedule to do that.
Yeah, and really put it in a schedule, because things, if it's in the schedule, it's much more likely to happen, right? So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you keep sending questions and things like that. So you haven't really gone without sugar, so you haven't experienced the cravings yet. But you're not there. You're more like getting your environment set up, right? So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. I'd already started to decrease sugar mm-hmm. like, for the 2 weeks leading up to the class anyway.
Oh, great. So you're on your way. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's great. So yeah, that's great. So do you have any follow-up questions based on this? Or?
Hey, what about condiments? Like, there's anything
yeah,
you
that's
want
a
to
great
add?
Question.
The food is pretty much full of sugar.
Exactly. We're getting into, barbecue season, and there's going to be condiments almost everywhere. And a lot of, like you said, they're full of sugars, ketchup, relish, whatever, it's sugar. So if you're, let's say you're having a barbecue or something, then ideally it's easy to make. I don't know how people, if they make their own burgers or whatever they put on the barbecue. Actually, which reminds me, I should probably talk a little about how to make burgers. I want to put more recipes up there. But just do things like slice up avocado, slice up tomatoes, slice up an onion, put some, crunchy lettuce out, and you don't need to even need a bun. You just grill, portobello mushroom top or, a burger, ideally with, high quality protein like grass-fed beef. And it's quite accessible. If you go to a lot of local grocery stores, and like Farm Boy and stuff, they often have 1 pound grass-fed beef and Saslavs and all those places. So it's but grocery shopping, I'll be honest, I don't know what you've done it in the past. If you're doing like a one-stop grocery shopping, and depending on where that was, it may be a little trickier. And I often find that I grocery shop less often in like a regular grocery stores, and I buy things in bulk, like I have a lot of my meat in my freezer if you have space for that. And it's going to be there's a bit of reorganizing and moving and finding new places and new habits. And that's why I'm also doing these support calls, because things are going to shift. And before you get your bearings again, like where to go, it's going to get easy once you get there. I don't want to make it more complicated than it is, but it's just redoing things, right? Because we create yourself habits, so it's... So for most condiments, the processed stuff I'd stay away from because they have sugar in them and probably, preservatives and things. So just start thinking real food. And I don't know if that sounds appetizing to you to have those types of things that I mentioned. How does that sound? Does it sound boring or?
A little bit.
Yeah. And mustards are usually okay. If you read the ingredients, a lot of mustards are pretty clean, especially the ones you get at the health food store. Mm-hmm. And but often also that's an indication that you need a little taste bud resetting. And if you because onion and avocado, they have a lot of texture, and onion can be quite sharp, and so that's, you can even put things, I love putting fresh basil leaves with my burgers and things like that, because like a whole leaf will just rip it up because you get a lot of flavor with the tomatoes and onion. So it's about starting to appreciate real and seemingly more subtle flavors. And if you stay with it, you're not going to want the other stuff. It's just going to taste sweet after a while because your newbie taste buds haven't experienced those flavors.
Okay.
And, I have another question that I missed here, I see. Did you have another one there, Shannon, or you're...
Nope.
You're good, okay. And is gluten-free bread okay? That's what I was asked. So like I said before, I'm trying not to... teach with a fire hose. So we haven't gotten to gluten yet, but that's class two, so in a few days. But I'm going to give a short answer. I'll get the long answer on Wednesday. So it's basically no, and I'll explain why. It's because gluten-free is often spikes blood sugar a lot more than gluten bread. And that's because they're often made with very highly refined ingredients like white rice flour and other things that And like we talked about, if it's refined, the more of the digestive process has already happened, so it doesn't have to do a lot of work in your gut, so it's going to reach your bloodstream very quickly. And we don't know about the quality of fats, if they put fat in, and they may add sugar. So gluten-free, the labeling of putting gluten-free on everything, it's become really big business. And to do gluten-free in a way that's healthy, it's really about trying to avoid the packaged and processed foods 99% of the time and eat real food. That's just things you know what goes in there, because the processing, there's a few reasons if you think about it. For things to be processed and to have shelf life, they often have to put in refined things, because let's say something that's more in its natural state, it's a live food, and live foods can't sit on the middle aisles of the grocery store, so they're going to go bad. And they also often put fats in there that also won't go bad. So they, all those refined deodorized vegetable oils are often in there, so that's inflammatory. So like I said, I promised a short answer, but I'm kind of giving you a long one here. So try to avoid the gluten-free branded products, and we'll talk more about that later. And I don't know if you guys have been to my website. Let's see if I can actually go to that screen here. I have a few recipes that may be helpful at this stage. So I think the recording of this is just going to be audio, so I may as well just talk through it. That's the wrong screen. Let's see here. That's the wrong screen. Yeah, so if you go on my website, trulyyou.com, there's and you click on blog, I have put a few recipes up there. But when we talk about gluten-free bread, something that you can use in moderation that's sort of convenient once you make it is the Kermit pancakes. It's pretty far down in my blogs, but if you search for them, it's called Kermit pancakes because they're green. And these are plantain-based pancakes. And these can be made, I have a quite detailed recipe on my blog. And so you ideally want to use the plantains before they get too ripe, because then they're more stabilizing for the blood sugar. Because the more they ripen, the more the sugar content increases. So you want them green or yellow. And it's sometimes hard to find them green, but usually you can find them yellow. And these are baked in the oven with coconut oil. And you usually get about, what do I have there? I usually get about 24 of these little round pancakes when I make a batch of 3 plantains. And then you can eat them fresh. They're delicious, especially if you find that you need something that's a little bit more starchy and miss things like bread. And they freeze as well. You can freeze them in a single layer and then just keep them in your freezer and take one out and pop it in the toaster oven. They're convenient, and they may hit that spot, and it's a food that you can easily make yourself. So that's the Kermit pancakes on my blog. And also there's some other recipes there as well. I have how to cook down leafy greens. Leafy greens are really, really good for you, and they're tasty as well when you learn how to cook them. And I have a bone broth and ginger citrus tea, so you can check out those recipes. So, we'll talk more about things. I want to see, because everybody, like, this is not like one size fits all when you customize things. I want to hear what kind of foods you're missing and having struggle replacing, so we can find some more things. Have a little more time in next class than the last one, because the first class was covering a lot of content. So I said I was going to talk also about how the little everyday choices really add up, but I think we're out of time today, so I'll move that to another week. So any last questions?
Nope.
Yeah. So did you find this helpful?
Yeah.
This sort of between class thing. So if you can, because we still have a couple of days left before our live class. So wherever people have had challenges, now is a chance to kind of reset when you hear this, or if you're alive. And like I said, it's important to just make space in your life for this, because you're not going to need that to create space in your life constantly, but just at the beginning, because you're learning something new, and this is something really important, because this is going to impact, you know, your future health and well-being at all levels. So, you know, good job for being here and for investing in doing this. That's amazing. But yes, this is part of the journey, and just dig in, you know, and do it. So thank you for being here, and I'll see you in class in a couple of days.
Thanks. We'll see you Wednesday.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.